Is there any way out of this mess?
Yes. It is in your schools. It is in the education of your young. Your hope is in the next generation and the next. But you must stop immersing them in the ways of the past. Those ways have not worked. They have not taken you where you say you want to go. Yet if you are not careful, you are going to get exactly where you are headed. So stop. Turn around. Sit down together and collect your thoughts. Create the grandest version of the greatest vision you ever had about yourselves as a human race. Then take the values and concepts which undergird such a vision and teach them in your schools. Why not courses such as Understanding Power?
Peaceful Conflict Resolution.
Elements of Loving Relationships.
Personhood and Self-Creation.
Body, Mind, and Spirit, How They Function.
Engaging Creativity.
Celebrating Self, Valuing Others.
Joyous Sexual Expression.
Fairness.
Tolerance.
Diversities and Similarities.
Ethical Economics.
Creative Consciousness and Mind Power.
Awareness and Wakefulness.
Honesty and Responsibility.
Visibility and Transparency.
Science and Spirituality.
Much of this is taught right now. We call it social studies.
I'm not talking about a two-day unit in a semester-long course. I'm talking about separate courses on each of these things. I'm talking about a complete revision of your school's curricula. I am speaking of a values-based curriculum. You are now teaching what is largely a fact-based curriculum. I'm talking about focusing your child's attention as much on understanding the core concepts and the theoretical structures around which their value system may be reconstructed as you now do on dates and facts and statistics.
In the highly evolved societies of your galaxy and your universe, concepts for living are taught to offspring beginning at a very early age. What you call facts, which in those societies are considered far less important, are taught at a much later age. On your planet, you have created a society in which little Johnny has learned how to read before getting out of preschool, but still hasn't learned how to stop biting his brother. And Susie has perfected her multiplication tables using flashcards and rote memory in ever earlier and earlier grades, but has not learned that there is nothing shameful or embarrassing about her body. Right now, your schools exist primarily to provide answers. It would be far more beneficial if their primary function was to ask questions. What does it mean to be honest or responsible or fair? What are the implications? For that matter, what does it mean that 2 + 2 = 4? What are the implications? Highly evolved societies encourage all children to discover and create those answers for themselves.
But that would lead to chaos.
As opposed to the non-chaotic conditions under which you now live your life?
Okay. So it would lead to more chaos.
I'm not suggesting that your schools never share with your offspring any of the things which you have learned or decided about these things. Quite to the contrary. Schools serve their students when they share with young ones what elders have learned and discovered, decided and chosen in the past. Students may then observe how all this has worked. In your schools, however, you present these data to the student as that which is right, when the data really should be offered as simply that, data. Past data should not be the basis of present truth. Data from a prior time or experience should always and only be the basis for new questions. Always the treasure should be in the question, not in the answer. And always the questions are the same. With regard to this past data, which we have shown you, do you agree or do you disagree? What do you think? Always this is the key question. Always this is the focus. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Now, obviously, children will bring to this question the values of their parents. Parents will continue to have a strong role, obviously the primary role, in creating the child's system of values. The school's intention and purpose would be to encourage offspring from the earliest age until the end of formal education to explore those values and to learn how to use them, apply them, functionalize them, and yes, even to question them. For parents who do not want children questioning their values are not parents who love their children, but rather who love themselves through their children.
I wish, oh, how I wish that there were schools such as the ones you describe.
There are some which seek to approach this model.
There are?
Yes. Read the writings of the man called Rudolf Steiner. Explore the methods of the Waldorf school, which he developed.
Well, of course, I know all about those schools. Is this a commercial?
This is an observation.
Because you knew I was familiar with the Waldorf schools. You knew that.
Of course I knew that. Everything in your life has served you, brought you to this moment. I have not just started talking with you. I've been talking with you for years, through all of your associations and experiences.
You're saying the Waldorf school is the best?
No. I am saying it is a model which works, given where you say, as a human race, you want to go, given what you claim you want to do, given what you say you want to be. I am saying it is an example, one of several I could cite, although on your planet and your society they are rare, of how education may be accomplished in a way which focuses on wisdom more than simply knowledge.
Well, it's a model I very much approve of. There are many differences between a Waldorf school and other schools. Let me give you an example. It's just one, simple one, but it dramatically illustrates the point. In the Waldorf school, the teacher moves with the children through all levels of the primary and elementary learning experience. For all those years, the children have the same teacher, rather than moving from one person to another. Can you imagine the bond which is formed here? Can you see the value? The teacher comes to know the child as if it were his or her own. The child moves to a level of trust and love with the teacher, which opens doors many traditionally oriented schools never dreamed existed. At the end of those years, the teacher reverts back to the first grade, starting over again with another group of children and moving through all the years of the curriculum once more. A dedicated Waldorf teacher may wind up working with only four or five groups of children in an entire career, but he or she has meant something to those children beyond anything that is possible in a traditional school setting. This educational model recognizes and announces that the human relationship, the bonding and the love which is shared in such a paradigm, is just as important as any fact the teacher may impart to the child. It's like homeschooling outside the home.
Yes, it's a good model.
There are other good models?
Yes, and you are making some progress on your planet with regard to education, but it's very slow. Even the attempt to place a goals-oriented, skill-development-focused curriculum in public schools has met with enormous resistance. People see it as threatening or ineffective. They want children to learn facts. Still, there are some inroads, yet there is much to be done. And that is only one area of the human experience which could use some overhauling, given what you say as human beings that you are seeking to be.
Yes, I should imagine the political arena could use some changes, too.
To be sure.
I've been waiting for this. This is more of what I assumed you were promising me when you told me that we would deal with planetary issues on a global scale. So can we begin to look at our human politics by my asking you what may seem like an elementary question?
No questions are undeserving or unworthy. Questions are like people.
Ah, good one. Okay, then, let me ask. Is it wrong to undertake a foreign policy based on your country's own vested interests?
No. First, from my standpoint, nothing is wrong. But I understand how you use the term, so I will speak within the context of your vocabulary. I use the term wrong to mean that which is not serving you, given who and what you choose to be. This is how I've always used the terms right and wrong with you. It is always within this context, for in truth, there is no right or wrong. So, within that context, no, it is not wrong to base foreign policy decisions on vested interest considerations. What is wrong is to pretend that you're not doing so. This most countries do, of course. They take action or fail to take action for one set of reasons, then give as a rationale another set of reasons.
Why? Why do countries do that?
Because governments know that if people understood the real reasons for most foreign policy decisions, the people would not support them. This is true of governments everywhere.
There are very few governments which do not deliberately mislead their people. Deception is part of government. For few people would choose to be governed the way they are governed. Few would choose to be governed at all, unless government convinced them that its decisions were for their own good. This is a hard convincing, for most people plainly see the foolishness in government. So government must lie to at least try to hold the people's loyalty. Government is the perfect portrayer of the accuracy of the axiom that if you lie big enough, long enough, the lie becomes the truth. People in power must never let the public know how they came to power, nor all that they've done and are willing to do to stay there.